This is a special Sunday, and we're going to be talking about baptism. This was a picture I took up at Spooner a few years ago. This was a few people from Crossroads Church with Trig Wisted, pastor, and they got baptized. And I just love this photo because this guy came up out of the water so excited that he had found new life in Christ. And this morning we just want to talk about what we believe about baptism as Cornerstone Church St. Paul. And let's see here.
That's Joe Walsh on the right.
Mills Gruber behind him. I'm not sure this man what his name is. I think he was fairly new to the church. But I love that picture. It really shows how excited someone is to have new life in Christ. So this morning, and I'm thinking of the kids in particular here too, maybe you do not know what baptism is. And maybe for even some of us adults, we're not sure what our church, Cornerstone, believes about baptism. So I wanted to start out with a definition of baptism. And this is from the dictionary, so we're going to work with it here. Baptism, in parentheses in the Christian church, is the religious rite of sprinkling water onto a person's forehead or of immersion in water, symbolizing purification or regeneration and admission to the Christian church. A lot of big words, right? What does that mean? Is that even the right definition? Yes and no. This is not complete, I don't think. It's missing the identity we have in Christ. Okay? So I pulled out Cornerstone Church St. Paul's Statement of Faith, Section 6. And we're not going to read the entire thing, but I want you guys to focus on the top because that's what is dealing with baptism. And so this is the ordinances of baptism and the Lord's Supper. And this is right from our statement of faith. We believe the local church is enjoined to practice the ordinances of baptism and the Lord's Supper. Baptism signifies repentance and forgiveness of sins, identifies the believer with Christ, and publicly initiates one into the church. We believe baptism should normally be conducted by immersion as a public profession of one's faith in Jesus Christ. Okay, you guys are all going to get a copy of this as soon as all our paperwork is incorporated and we got it all compiled, but this is something the elders, we all went over very carefully. We wanted to make sure this was biblically sound. We wanted to make sure this reflected what we believed. So this is what we have, and next slide. Oh, okay, so why do we baptize? Does baptism save? Okay, so we're going to start out with this, but I want you guys to listen. One time I was, when I did my previous work on the farms, I was talking with a farmer, and baptism got brought up. And something got said about, I said to him, my children aren't baptized yet, and he just about fell down. He could not believe that. He's like, well, aren't you worried if something happened that they'd go to hell? And we were able to have a conversation further about what baptism is and what it means and things like that. So I just want to be talking about that as a church this morning, because sometimes people aren't sure, oh, what does that mean? Do we baptize kids? Do we baptize adults? What do we do? So we're going to talk first, why do we do this? And then we're going to focus on the three main points that we read in the statement of faith. The repentance of forgiveness and forgiveness of sins, identifying the believer with Christ, and publicly initiating one into the church.
We need more pens.
I don't have pens, so just pay attention, okay? All right, go sit down. There you go. All right, so why do we baptize? Does baptism save? And the Bible is very clear on this. We're going to be reading a lot of scripture this morning, guys. So next slide, Don. So kids, pay attention, even though you don't have a pen or maybe have a pen to share. Okay, Ephesians 2, 8 through 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Okay? I emphasize with red because I want us to focus on that. By grace you have been saved through faith. That's what saves. But because of that, we're created in Christ Jesus for good works. We were saved for something. Okay? One commentator wrote, "We are saved by grace through faith alone, but saving faith is never alone. It always results in a life of obedience to Christ." The saving happens, but then something follows. Next slide. 1 John 2, 4 through 6. "Whoever says, 'I know him,'" Jesus, "but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked." So, because Jesus walked a certain way, if we say we're in him, we put faith in him, we will also walk in that same manner. What follows the saving grace through faith in Jesus' death and resurrection is obedience. Now, there's a difference between belief and action, isn't there? You ever thought about this? We can believe that a plane can fly and carry people safely to another place. But real faith would be acting. I'm getting onto the plane to fly to the other place, and I believe I'm going to get there safely. Right? Faith and action go together. I also think the kids, when we brought them to the beach, they want to learn how to swim. I take them out, and I'm holding on to them, and they're afraid of the water. They can't swim yet, right? And I say, I'm going to be right here. I'm going to be right here. And they have to let go and believe. They have to put action into what I'm saying. "Yes, Papa, I believe that you're going to be right here and make sure I don't go into the water." But they also have to do the action of letting go. It's going to be okay. Okay? So we also want to take a step back and remember the big picture story of the Bible. God's whole purpose in creation was what? Making a place for him to be worshipped. Right? We see this all throughout Scripture. Next slide. Matthew 28. This is after Jesus' death and resurrection. And he touches on this big, big story again. Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Right? He did it. He did the work. He saved people through his death and resurrection. And now he's telling his believers, his church, "Go out. Spread my image over all the earth so that people would come to the Father and worship him. We're going to fill the earth with worshipers, with God's image." So, the church has been obeying Jesus' words ever since. Amen? Otherwise, we wouldn't be here, would we? So, we preach the good news. We baptize believers into the new life of Christ and his church. And we baptize because we want to obey Christ's command here in building his kingdom for him to be worshipped. That's the big picture. That's why we do this. So, it doesn't save, but it is the obedience of being saved that we go, we baptize, and we make more disciples. Does that make sense, kids? Adults? Yes. Okay. So let's look at the first thing baptism signifies. Next slide. Baptism signifies repentance and the forgiveness of sins. So kids, if you have a pen, this is one of your questions to fill out. What are some examples of this in Scripture? Signifies repentance and the forgiveness of sins. Well, in Acts 2, Peter is standing before a multitude of people, and he begins to preach a sermon about the good news. This is a big, famous sermon right away in Acts. And he also makes a point to say that all the people listening were the ones that sinned against God and killed Jesus. But God raised him from the dead and made him king. So, that's the backstory, and this is what's said. "Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit." So if they repent and they act on that faith that they have, they're going to receive forgiveness and the Holy Spirit. They're going to be able to obey God. Their action is going to follow their faith. Okay? There's another story we read in Acts. When Paul is giving his testimony of meeting Jesus to the crowd in Jerusalem, and he shares how he had persecuted the church. Kids, that means he was trying to destroy the church so it wouldn't be there anymore. Okay? He's persecuting, killing people. He talks about how Jesus met him on the road to Damascus, how he was blinded, and how God used a man named Ananias to help him see both physically and spiritually. And this is what Ananias said to Paul after his eyes were opened. Next slide. "And now why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name." So his eyes were physically opened, but they were spiritually opened as well. All of a sudden, Paul had this encounter with Jesus, and it started making sense. And Ananias is saying, "Why do you wait? Rise up, be baptized. Show that you have made a connection in your faith to the true King. Wash away your sins and call on his name." So both Peter and Ananias stress that baptism is the response to signify that a change has taken place in their heart. The heart was once hard as stone, but now it has become soft like flesh. The heart is finally able to call on the name of Jesus and respond in obedience. Does this make sense? Through baptism, the new believer is outwardly showing the change that took place in their heart. A cleansing has happened. They have repented before their King and they are forgiven. And we are given many examples in the book of Acts of people repenting and being baptized. And we're going to read a few more here. Acts 8:12. "But when the Samaritans believed Philip as he preached the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women." Right? All of a sudden the good news is starting to get outside of Jerusalem. It's going into Samaria and they're believing and they're being baptized, men and women. Acts 8:35 to 38. "Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told the eunuch the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?' And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him." And one thing I noticed when I reread this, do you notice this exclamation mark? It means he was excited about it, right? He had made a connection with the Lord. The scripture is starting to become alive. It's making sense. Look, here's water. Let's do why. What's preventing us from doing this? Let's do it. Acts 10:47 and 48. "Then Peter declared, 'Can anyone hold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?' And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ." All of a sudden, the good news is getting to the Gentiles as well. It's getting outside of Israel. People are starting to hear about the good news and respond in faith, and they need to be baptized. Next slide. "Then the jailer brought Paul and Silas out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' And they said, 'Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household.' And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds. And he was baptized at once, he and all his family. Then he brought them up into his house and set food before them. And he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God." There was such a drastic change in this man's life. Think about it. He was the jailer. Paul and Silas are in jail, in prison. And a change took place in his heart, and he responded in obedience. And not only was he baptized, and then He also washed their wounds. He set food before them. Isn't this crazy? The jailer did this to those who were in prison. And it was because Jesus changed his heart. Acts 18:8. Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed in the Lord together with his entire household, and many of the Corinthians, hearing Paul, believed and were baptized. So we're reading all these scriptures. What's happening? Belief, baptism. They're showing this is a public thing. Something has changed in my heart, and I want to profess that through the repentance and the forgiveness of sins that I've received in Jesus. There's a pattern of people responding with obedience and baptism once they were saved by Christ and their hearts were changed. Okay? Next slide. Kids, baptism identifies the believer with Christ. How does baptism identify the believer with Christ? Well, what happened to Jesus? Misha, can you come on up here? Just come on up. It's okay. Don't put your shoes on. Okay, so kids, while Misha's coming up here, think about it. Jesus died on the cross, right? And he died. Come on up, Misha. Okay? So, if someone died, what do we do? Do we keep them upright? No, kids, I want you to see this. They get laid down, right?
Yeah.
A dead person gets laid down and put in the grave. And then what happened after 3 days? Jesus was raised up again. All of a sudden, he's alive. He's able to stand up, walk around. Do you guys see that picture? Dead, laid down, raised up, came back to life, standing up again, right? Okay, Misha, you can go sit down. Down, raised up. Does that make sense? Okay. So anyone who puts faith into Jesus' death and resurrection can have confidence that their old self has been put to death, okay, and they will be saved and be given new life as well. So old self died, new self rises up. Do you guys see this motion? You're going to see this when we go to the lake. Down, dead to old self, rise up, new self. All right, light bulbs are coming on. All right, next slide. So, all this, we want to back all this up with scripture, right? Romans 6, 3 through 8 says, kids, pay attention. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. Right? So when we say, Jesus, I'm putting faith into you and what you've done, it's almost like we're dying with him, getting put in the grave, and then raised up in new life in Christ. Okay? Died with Christ, resurrected with Christ. So, kids, you understand how baptism identifies the believer with Jesus? Awesome. Okay. Next slide. And you can fill this one out, kids. Third point. Baptism publicly initiates one into the church. So how many of you guys have considered your ancestry? Have you ever looked back into family trees or anything like that? Yes? Okay. You ever thought more about your family? You know, where you've come from, things, traditions and things like that. I think there's something in each one of us that wants to belong to something. That's what it's like to be human. We want to belong to something. We want to be a part of something. Where do we belong? What people are we a part of? Okay, next slide. 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 13. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. Okay? So kids, look at your body. It looks different, right? You have a hand? Looks different than your foot. It looks different than your nose, right? We have all different parts, but is it all part of your one body?
Yes.
Yes, it is, right? Now look around the room. We all look different, don't we? Different ages, different hair color, hair, no hair, right?
It is.
We all look different, but we're all part of one body. What body is that? It's the church, right? It's the body of Christ. So this church exists for Jesus, and we're saying, why would all of us meet together here? It doesn't make any sense, does it? But it does when we have one King. And we as a body, we're all different. We all do different things. We all serve in different ways. We all have different gifts, but we're all one body. We work as one for Jesus. Does that make sense, kids? Okay. So we all have been baptized into the body of Jesus. There is one Spirit who unites all believers. And if we profess our faith and follow Him, we all have the Holy Spirit living within us, convicting us of sin, giving us faith, and causing us to be obedient in worshiping Jesus. That's what we all have in common, isn't it? Baptism is done publicly. We are not afraid to confess to whom we belong. This is my people. That's my King. And I'm not afraid to say it. I'm not afraid to show it. We're going to do it publicly. I have a friend who's a pastor in Bangladesh. And if people get baptized in Bangladesh, which is an entirely Muslim country, they realize the cost could mean their life. They realize if they're caught getting baptized, they could immediately get put in prison and or killed. They understand the cost when they say, yes, I want to be baptized, but I'm going to do it publicly because that's what my King asked me to do. So, although we don't face that in this culture yet, our baptism should be saying, Lord, I'm willing to forsake everything, even my own life, to follow you. Right? Even if it means getting rejected by family and friends. Even if it means giving up things that are very dear to me. No, there's something greater. There's a greater treasure. I'm willing to lay all that down to follow Jesus. Does that make sense? This is why we do it publicly. We're showing the world, I care about one thing, and that's Jesus. Maybe someone would say, I'm shy. I can't get up in front of people and get baptized. Have you ever thought of that? Might be people, oh, I don't know if I can do that. Well, would we do that at a wedding? Think about it. I'll pick on the men, right? The guy says, honey, I really love you, but I'm just shy. I can't get up in front of people and profess my love for you publicly. And she would say, do you really love me then? Right? So how much more for our spiritual lives are we willing to say, no, this matters. Even if I'm shy, even if I'm, I don't know if I can get up in front of people, I'm willing to stand up and say, I believe in Jesus. This is why. I'm not afraid to do this. Jesus also gives us a promise and a warning. Next slide. Matthew 10:32-33. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. That's a promise and a warning, isn't it? If you're afraid to profess me in front of men, then I don't know you when it comes to judgment day. But if you boldly say, no, I follow you, Jesus is King, then I will stand before my Father and I will be your advocate and I will say, he is clean, he is holy, he can come in. All right. When believers profess their faith in Christ, it should be a cause for celebration. They are choosing Jesus over anything else. So we've looked at how baptism signifies repentance and forgiveness of sins, how it identifies the believer with Christ, and how it publicly initiates one into the church, into the body of Christ. And I want to look at one last thing. Next slide. So again, this is from our statement of faith, and I emphasize something at the bottom. So we believe the local church is enjoined to practice the ordinances of baptism and the Lord's Supper. Baptism signifies repentance and the forgiveness of sins, identifies the believer with Christ, and publicly initiates one into the church. We believe baptism should normally be conducted by immersion as a public profession of one's faith in Jesus Christ. So maybe you've heard or seen many different baptisms over the years. Maybe some people do infants, some people sprinkle, some people pour, some people immerse. Okay? I think there's something powerful about witnessing a person considering the cost of following Christ, then publicly testifying their faith and being immersed and raised up in the water. Okay? And this, think of how the passing through water has symbolized God's wrath and judgment. So think about the Bible stories. There's several stories where people were shown undeserved mercy as they passed through the water of God's wrath, and it all foreshadows the gospel event. So I know those who were at Tom Kelby's study the other night, you heard a little bit of this, right? But think of Noah in the ark. You know, we see in the children's Bibles, it looks like, oh, it's a fun ride with all the animals. They're all smiling, right? No, that's not what happened. It was God pouring his wrath out over the whole earth on a sinful world, but God's grace on Noah and his family and those on the ark carried them through the water. It's almost like a baptism. Do you see that? So God's wrath is all this water and judgment, but the ark is the grace that carries them through. Moses and the Israelites, when they reached the edge of the sea, the Red Sea, and Pharaoh and his army were coming up behind them, and God separated the sea so the Israelites could walk through. And God's wrath came down on the Egyptians behind them, right? But what was the picture of baptism in there? It was God's grace on the nation of Israel as they passed through the water safely onto the other side. Do you see his mercy there? Do you see the picture? I also think of Jonah. God called him to go witness to the Ninevites. And he went and ran in the other direction. And where did he end up? The belly of a big fish, right? Under the water for 3 days. There should be some connections there to the gospel event, right? God's wrath was going to come upon Nineveh, and he was going to use Jonah as the instrument to bring mercy upon them by pronouncing the good news of him. And Jonah, he kept Jonah, even through his disobedience, alive. He showed Jonah grace in the belly of the fish until he could reach Nineveh and preach repentance, and the nation did turn. They repented. Okay? I also think of Jesus being baptized in the Jordan River. Now, why would Jesus get baptized? He never sinned, right? Doesn't make sense. Well, Jesus was showing he's identifying with the people he came to save. This is what I want you to do. And John's message about repentance, forgiveness of sins, God's mercy, I'm approving that. And I'm going to do that by being baptized myself and fulfilling the scriptures. And he passed through the water into the promised land. Okay? And later, although not with water, God's wrath would pour over his only son. But God's mercy raised Jesus up so the entire world could be shown grace. And those who believe are symbolically passing through the wrath of God through Jesus' death and resurrection, or through Jesus' death, right? That down into the water. It's almost like a picture of passing through God's wrath, but in Jesus Christ, they are raised up in newness of life in him. So, this is a reason to celebrate. Last slide. Thank you, Jesus, for saving James and Bi and for giving them the faith to profess you as king. And that's what we're going to do now. We're going to head out to the lake. we're going to see this picture happen publicly. They're both going to go down into the water. I'm dying to my old self. I'm new in Christ and be raised up in Him. And the world can see this if they're out there, right? They're not ashamed. We've met. We've talked. I'm so excited to see this, to witness it, to be a part of it. And this is a reason to celebrate. So let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your saving work. We thank You for the symbol of baptism, how we're dying to our old sinful selves and we're being raised new in Your Son, Jesus. We thank You for this, Lord. We thank You for Your church, how You've kept it faithful over the years of making disciples. Thank You that You've shown us mercy and that You offer mercy. Lord, if anyone here does not know You, I pray that they would think hard of the things that we've talked about this morning and the scriptures we've read, and that they would think, where is my life headed? Lord, I pray that You would raise us all up to obedience and faith in You, and thank You for giving us hope in Your Son, Jesus. In Your name we pray. Amen.